From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia locked Serbia over in extraditing fugitives in bank fraud case. Streamlining of SOEs aims to boost productivity competitiveness. Now the news in details. The government of Indonesia praised its Serbian counterpart for its help in extraditing Maria Pauline Lumowa, a fugitive 17 years since being named a suspect of a Bank Negara Indonesia or BNI's $136 million fraud case. As Scott Bantara, the coordinating minister for political, legal and security affairs, Mahfud MD, affirmed that the handover process of the fugitive was concluded owing to Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lawli's intensive communication with the Serbian government. To this end, Mahfud and Lawli held a press conference at the Soekarno-Hatta International Airport on Thursday after inspecting the process of Lumowa's arrival in Indonesia. Lumowa is one of the suspects who allegedly used a fake letter of credit to commit a bank fraud. During the period from October 2002 to July 2003, the BNI liquidated $136 million and €56 million for the Gramarindo Group owned by the Lumowa and her husband, Adrian Wawaruntu. Vice President Maruf Amin attributed the decision to streamline the state-owned enterprises SOEs to augment their productivities and competitiveness in the global market. Amid remarked during a general lecture of the National Defense Institute Lemhanas on Thursday that the decision to streamline state enterprises BUMN was projected to enhance its role in the development of micro, small and medium-scale enterprises that would ultimately drive domestic productivity. As quoted by Antara, Vice President Amin highlighted that the government will downsize 142 state enterprises to some 100 companies through mergers covering several sectors including oil and gas, food, pharmaceutical, infrastructure, telecommunication, film and publishing. State-owned airport operator Angkasa Pura I recorded an increase in passenger numbers in early July after the government extended the expiry date for passengers' rapid and polymerase chain reactions test results. Angkasa Pura I President Director Faik Fahmi said on Wednesday the decision to extend the validity period for COVID-19 test results had made it easier to travel. The National COVID-19 Task Force issued on June 26 circular letter number 9, 2020, which extends the validity period for rapid test results that are required to fly from 3 days to the 2 weeks and PCR test result from 7 days to 2 weeks. As quoted by the Jakarta Post, that Angkasa Pura I recorded more than 227,000 passengers in the first 7 days of July, a huge increase from around 222,000 passengers during the first half of June. The Angkasa Pura I manages 13 airports in central and eastern Indonesia. Surabaya's Juanda Airport was the busiest airport in the first week of July with 723 flights, followed by Sultan Hasanuddin Airport in Makassar and Sultan Haji Muhammad Sulaiman Sepinggan Airport in Balikpapan. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news.
After 9 days of campaigning amid the unprecedented challenge of COVID-19, Singaporeans are heading to the ballot box as polling day gets underway on Friday. It has been an election season like no others, as candidates and voters alike seek to navigate safety measures and provisions brought about by the novel coronavirus pandemic. A slew of measures has been put in place for polling day itself to help keep people safe. As quoted by Channel News Asia, voting kicked off at 8 a.m. with a special time ban set aside for senior voters aged 65 and above at most polling stations. The rest of the electorate has been assigned recommended voting time slots indicated on poll cards to spread voters out across polling hours. Polls will close at 8 p.m. with sample counts expected to be announced not long after. Longtime Seoul City Mayor Park Won-sun was found dead, police said on Friday after his daughter reported him missing, saying he had left a message like a will. The mayor's body was found at Mount Bogak in northern Seoul around midnight, near where his phone signal had last been detected, the Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency said. The agency did not give a cause of death. The city police did not respond to Reuters' call seeking comments, but said in a statement that it would investigate the cause of his death. As mayor of the city of nearly 10 million people, Park was one of South Korea's most influential politicians and played a high-profile role in its response to the coronavirus pandemic. He was seen as a potential presidential hopeful for the Liberals in the 2022 presidential election. A political row has broken out in India after gold was found being smuggled into the country in diplomatic baggage. Customs officials at the international airport in the southern state of Kerala found more than 30 kilos of gold hidden inside bathroom fittings. The package was addressed to the United Arab Emirates consulate in Thiruvananthapuram. The United Arab Emirates has denied any knowledge of the package and said a former local employee had been arrested. In a statement on Twitter on Tuesday, the United Arab Emirates Embassy in India capital Delhi said an investigation had been launched after the discovery was made. According to a report by Reuters news agency, the lack of international flights because of the coronavirus pandemic has led to a fall in the amount of gold smuggling to India, as well as a rise in the price of gold. The United States on Thursday took its first major action to stop horrific abuses against China's Uyghurs and other Turkic Muslims, slapping sanctions on several senior officials. Three officials will be refused U.S. visas and see any U.S.-based assets frozen, including Chen Guangqiu, the Chinese Communist Party CCP chief for the Xinjiang region and the architect of Beijing's hardline policies against restive minorities. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that the United States was acting against the horrific and systematic abuses in the Western region, including forced labor, mass detention, and involuntary population control. The Treasury Department sanction also make it a crime in the United States to conduct financial transactions with the three people as well as a fourth person. Huo Lijun, a former security official who was not subjected to the separate visas restriction. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on corona pandemic and Rohingya refugees. The world certainly does not forget the Rohingya ethnic Muslims who originally settled in Myanmar and are now refugees. Evicted from their places of origin in various ways, including using boats, they are trying to find safer places in other countries. Conditions are increasingly difficult when the Rohingya Muslims still try to find new locations to evacuate in the condition of the corona pandemic as it is now. The countries they are aiming four are currently trying to limit the arrival of foreigners to prevent the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Malaysia, which is often the main goal of Rohingya refugees, firmly states that it cannot accept them because of domestic conditions that are busy facing the corona pandemic. The current condition of Rohingya people is also made worse by the pushback policy of another destination country, Thailand. Rohingya refugees are forced to leave settlements that have been inhabited from generation to generation due to the violence of the Myanmar government, which leads to genocide or ethnic exterminations, especially in 2017. More than 1 million Rohingya are now in Bangladesh, a neighboring country that is said to be the place of origin of this ethnicity. The Rohingya themselves claim they are native to the West Myanmar, but have never obtained clear citizenship status from the Myanmar government. In Bangladesh, Rohingyas are cramped into refugee camps that are crowded with conditions far from decent. It is planned that they will be sent back to Myanmar. Certainly a breath of fresh air when, for humanitarian reasons, Indonesia was willing to accommodate Rohingya boat people in the waters of Aceh at the end of June. Amid the corona pandemic condition faced by all countries, Indonesia welcomed Rohingya refugees with open arms. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that she would move the location of 99 Rohingya people in Aceh to a more suitable place. The UN refugee agency UNHCR has officially recorded the Rohingya refugees who were housed in Aceh. The question is, in the middle of the current pandemic atmosphere, what should the countries which are often the goals of Rohingya refugees do? A dilemma, because in the midst of fears of the COVID-19 virus threat, there is a burden of humanitarian responsibility that must still be shouldered. Indonesia has answered that by putting forward a sense of humanity. It remains to be seen how other countries will also react in the face of the number of Rohingya refugees who continue to look for new destinations amid the pandemic that nobody knows when it will be over. Well, that was commentary today on corona pandemic and Rohingya refugees. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Welcome back to our regular Today in History. We start from an event on July 10, 1962. The first communication satellite in the world, Telstar, was orbited into space. Telstar was a series of communication satellites consisting of Telstar 1 and Telstar 2 satellites. The existing of Telstar satellites marks a new era in electronic communication, because the satellite successfully aired the first television broadcast in the world. Telstar 1 was launched by NASA on July 10, 1962 using a Thor Delta rocket. A few hours after Telstar was launched, the first television broadcast aired live from the Earth station in Andover and successfully crossed the Atlantic Ocean. Since then, humans began to enter the era of communication satellites. Now we move to a history on July 10, 1973 was the independence of Bahama. The Commonwealth of the Bahamas is a country of about 700 islands in the Caribbean region. The Bahamas is bordered with Florida, the United States, to the west, and Cuba to the south. The Bahamas became a British colony in 1718. About 8,000 British loyalists and slaves moved to the Bahamas in the late 1700s from New York, Florida, and Carolina. The Bahamas gained complete independence on July 10, 1973 from Britain. Since the 1950s, the Bahamas economy has developed based on two pillars of tourism and financial services. Today in History will end with a history on July 10, 1985, was Greenpeace Rainbow Warrior sank in Auckland Port, New Zealand. Rainbow Warrior was one of the names for the series of ships operated by Greenpeace. The French Secret Service DGSE sunk the Greenpeace ship in the port of Auckland, New Zealand on July 10, 1985 through sabotage. At that time, Greenpeace activists received massive terror for opposing the French nuclear experiment carried out on Mururoa Island around Polynesia. The Rainbow Warrior is one of three ships that Greenpeace uses to carry out its action to fight against environmental destruction. Two other ships, Arctic Sunrise and Esperanza, run the action in the Northern Hemisphere to the poles. That was Today in History.
Jalani.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Industry Ministry focuses on preparing integrated industrial estate to attract investors. The Ministry of Industry focuses on preparing a number of integrated industrial estates, or KIT, which will be equipped with supporting infrastructure for new business activities. In the National Medium-Term Development Plan 2020-2024, the government proposes the construction of 27 new industrial zones. Director General of Resilience, Regionalism and International Industrial Access, Ministry of Industry, Dodi Widodo, said in Jakarta on Tuesday, July 7, that currently there are around 12,500 hectares of land area ready to be offered to investors. Dodi Widodo said, the Ministry of Industry is mapping out industrial estates managed by state-owned enterprises to be ready to accommodate relocation from China. Industrial estates along the north coast of Java are considered to have interesting values to be offered to investors because they are superior in terms of export-import loading and unloading speed. In general, relocation can be directed to all areas in Central Java and East Java. One of areas that is being accelerated of its development is the Batang Integrated Industrial Estate, or KIT, in Central Java province, which has more than 4,000 hectares land area. This area is intensively offered to investors who plan to relocate factories from China and a number of countries in Southeast Asia. Investment that will enter the Batang Integrated Industrial Zone in the first phase is estimated at $850 million and has the potential to absorb 30,000 workers. The development is prioritized to compete with industrial estates in countries around Southeast Asia, such as Vietnam and Malaysia. In addition to the Batang Integrated Industrial Estate, five other industrial estates developments have been proposed to be included in the list of national strategic projects for the 2020-2024 period. The five projects are the Brebes Industrial Estate in Central Java, the Takalar Industrial Estate in South Sulawesi, the Tanjung Enim Industrial Estate in South Sumatra, and the two potential industrial areas in North Maluku, namely Wada Bay and Obi Island. Chairman of the Indonesian Industrial Estate Association, Sani Iskandar, acknowledged that industrial center in Java more attracted by investors than other regions because the infrastructures are better prepared. Of the total 96 industrial estates that are registered by Indonesian Industrial Estate Association, mostly are in Java. He explained, many locations are in West Java, reaching 27 areas. But nationally, there are 70 area managers within Industrial Estate Association who are ready to accommodate industrial relocation. That was My Indonesia.
Tersenyum menatap malu-malu,
oh, rona merah pipimu,
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listeners, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce you Sendari Tourism Village, Yogyakarta. Sendari Village is a bamboo craft-based tourism village. The bamboo handicrafts from this tourism village have been exported to foreign countries such as Italy, Singapore, Saudi Arabia, and the Netherlands. The Bamboo Industry Center at Sendari Village is located at Sendon Tirto Adi, Melati Subdistrict, Sleman Regency. It takes approximately 45 minutes to get to Sendari Village from downtown of Yogyakarta. The expertise in making handicrafts from bamboo is continuously done by the local community from generation to generation. The majority of villagers at Sendari work as bamboo craftsmen. Raw materials for making bamboo handicrafts are purchased from Kulon Progo. The Bamboo Handicraft Center at Sendari Village has been supported by the local government. There are many seminars and briefings proposed to craftsmen so that the Bamboo Crafts Center can grow continuously. In Sendari Tourism Village, you can find various forms of bamboo handicrafts such as household equipments, tables, chairs, and room dividers. There are also various home accessories such as lamp decoration, calligraphy, and many others. The price is also varied based on the quality and complexity of the manufacturing. Listener, not only buying various bamboo handicrafts, but you also can see the bamboo processing from the beginning to the end. Starting from washing bamboo, then dried for durability. Drying process is still carried out traditionally by utilizing sunlight. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring Sendari Tourism Village, Yogyakarta. We'll meet again tomorrow in another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Oh,
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about Start From The Wardrobe movement. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. The Zero Waste Indonesia community calls for people to be committed not buying new clothes for 3 months as a slow fashion implementation to reduce fashion waste and textile waste. The Start From The Wardrobe movement will take place from July 15 to October 15, 2020. The people who participated are urged to look for alternative new clothes such as borrowing, renting, exchanging, serving, or buying used clothes. Even buying new clothes is still legitimate if you really need it and not just being tempted by trends, especially when buying from sustainable fashion labels or local labels to support entrepreneurs affected by COVID-19 pandemic. Aurila Sofianti Imbron, a founder of the Zero Waste Indonesia community, explained that as the time passes by, the fashion industry has developed so fast. Various labels are aggressively releasing new collections in a bid to adjust the trend. Fast fashion becomes something that is in great demand, impacting consumerism behavior in which people buy new clothes to follow various trends that exceeding their need. As we are aware, the textile industry is one of the biggest contributors to pollution in the world. If it continues, it will bring about a negative impact on the environment and humans. Launching from the global fashion agenda, textile waste will be expected to increase by 60% between 2015 and 2030. The movement is expected to be followed by at least 5,000 people who register their commitments by July 14, and they can contribute to extending the life of clothing to 9 months and can reduce global carbon emissions by 30%. People are urged to become wiser consumers and maximize the available clothing. Even buying new clothes is just a problem as long as you are driven by needs, not just wants or just following the trend. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Jangan kau bohongi hatimu, jelas kau ingin aku. Percuma punya wajah yang merdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Izinkan ku isi harimu, usir mendung kelabu. Percuma punya tampang yang syahdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Oh tu apalagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tu apalagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Buat apa kau buang waktu dalam kisah yang semu? Izinkanlah ku cumbu hatimu dan merangkai cinta. Oh tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Bukakanlah pintu hatimu darah. Izinkanlah ku ketuk asmara. Kan ku ubah sedihmu jadi bahagia. Apalagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu penuh bahagia. Tunggu apalagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Tangis air mata. Hari-harimu bahagia. Tunggu apa lagi, kan ku buat harimu bahagia.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listeners, in our regular segment today, Music Corner, we are going to present a song from South Sulawesi entitled Tana Ogi Wanwaku. The Bugis song Tana Ogi Wanwaku tells about someone who leaves his hometown to struggle for a better life far away. The song, which was composed by Auntie Larity, was popularized by a singer from South Sulawesi, Tenri Uke, in a pop Malay genre. In 2019, two Bugis young men, Nur Alfarisi and Rusdi, rearranged the song in the pop genre. Here is Nur Alfarisi and Rusdi with the song entitled Tana Ogi Wanwaku.
Kana rima bilai rilipu anu alai dicemua ruku sapa welai wanu aku tana ogi Wanua ala suraku Indu ambo malapiku wabukori ulau Janji rialiku singkeru riatiku ya pahurewa matana ogi urun tupi usapai indo ambo Malebiku aja tak betul renua marilah ribuannya natipu minasaku. Marilah ribuan ini na hatipu minasaku. Marilah ribuangi na hatipu minasaku. Jangan kau bohongi hatimu, jelas kau ingin aku. Percuma punya wajah yang merdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Izinkan ku isi harimu, usir mendung kelabu. Percuma punya tampang yang syahdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Oh, tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Buat apa kau buang waktu dalam kisah yang semu. Izinkanlah ku cumbu hatimu dan merangkai cinta. Oh, tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Bukakanlah pintu hatimu darah. Izinkanlah ku ketuk asmara. Kan ku ubah sedihmu jadi bahagia. Tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu penuh bahagia. Tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Apalagi kan ku buat harimu bahagia.
Mentari sinari wajahku di pagi hari. Berangkat ku pergi, temanku telah menanti. Menuju mata air, melewati bukit nan tinggi, bersenandung bahagia. Ayo kawan, bernyanyilah dan selamat.
hatimu murni sekali dan dia bersuara, jangan kau henti bermimpi. Melompat lebih tinggi melewati batas ilusi, bersenandung bahagia.
Now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at voiindonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.